on my way from L.A. back to Knoxville. I found out those bright lights ain't where I belong. From a phone booth in the rain, I called to tell her I've had a change of dreams, I'm coming home. But tears filled my eyes when I found out she was gone.
We kick off hour number two of the program. Houston, I know you're getting excited because this segment's brought to you by the Great Smoky Mountain Curling Club. You got that nip in the air, that means it's curling season. And if you're listening and you get to Knoxville or you're here already, you might be like, you know, I've always wanted to try that. Well, you can. Next few Wednesdays, learn to curl sessions. All you got to do is show up in some, you know, just regular comfortable clothing, have some tennis shoes, that's it. That's all you need. You can sign up at curlknoxville.com. That's curlknoxville.com. And, yes, that is the thing you see on the Olympics. And if you come,
no one sees that on the Olympics but you.
You'd be surprised.
I watch some.
I do, too.
You going?
He's thinking
about
it.
I'll see if I can make it.
He's thinking about it. Might just happen to see some fan run people out there this Wednesday, October 5th. Starts at 6:30.
Such a tease.
They'll
the three and out curl team.
Nate already has his team. We wouldn't be allowed on that team.
I'll teach you how to
We'd
do it.
We'd take them down.
You get out on
if
the ice.
If he was that great, he'd carry us, right?
Show you how it's done. You get to try it yourself, and it's a fun time. You know, and, you know, drinking, big part of curling as well. So you learn all the details. CurlKnoxville.com is where you go to sign up. It's at the Ice Chalet, so easy to get to. Right here in Knoxville. It's curlknoxville.com. Next three Wednesdays they have sessions. Just a one-time thing. Sign up and come try it out. Teach you everything you need to know. And by the end, you'll know how to throw a stone. Sweep. You ready to go? It's curlknoxville.com. 30 minutes of off-ice instruction, 45 minutes on ice, and then an opportunity to stay and watch the league games as well after that. So, limited spots available. Sign up at curlknoxville.com. So I guess the hurricane didn't impact too much college football. Hopefully, I haven't heard too much about damage or, you know, destruction. So hopefully that's good news. Maybe I'm just out of the loop. But Pro Football Focus has their college football. Are we just out on them now with the weird ratings that they've had on our players?
I don't know. What you're the one who broke down Mincy.
I mean, I thought he looked – he definitely didn't deserve whatever it was, a 40-something. I mean, that's crazy. He does get pushed in the backfield a little more than, like, Darnell Wright does on the other side in pass pro, but nothing where – I mean, this is Florida we're talking about. This is the Florida Gators defense. And, sure, it might be one of the worst defenses they've ever had in the, you know, in our lifetime. But still, those are – composite talent rankings, they're supposed to be more talented than us. And, you know, Hendon Hooker was – I don't think he was even affected by Mincy's guy, at least in the first – I think I watched almost a halftime. That one play, Cade Mays had a little trouble with the blitzer coming, and then Jabari Small got just flattened on his back. I mean, that was the fumble play on fourth down.
Well, Spraggins was offensive lineman of the week, but he was graded out as the third or fourth best on our line from Saturday.
Yeah, and he was in like the 50s, which is like backup level. So I don't get that at all. Pro Football Focus has Tennessee at 7 in their poll. It says Volunteers quarterback Hendon Hooker looks like a legitimate Heisman contender. He has the third highest grade among Power 5 quarterbacks this season at 91.6. And keep in mind, good tidbit here, I guess, half his games have come against top 25 opponents in Pittsburgh and Florida.
And he's really played better in those two games, I think.
I'd say so.
I mean,
he feels like he's played with an edge when needed, and if he's had some kind of space cadet moments, it's been when it didn't matter.
I mean, the pass down the sideline to Keaton from this previous weekend like, it's weird to say, but, like, against Ball State and Akron, like, that's a pass he missed quite a bit.
You're saying Hooker missed it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, Florida comes to town, and all of a sudden, I mean, he looked just electric out there, couldn't miss.
BFF has Penn State at 8. They have Kentucky down at 9. We were debating that yesterday, whether Tennessee should be ahead of Kentucky. I mean, it seems like it.
Does to me.
So at 9, that's probably a better.
Now, if they win this weekend against Ole Miss while we're on a bye, I'm not going to have as much of an issue with it. But to this point, it just seems like we're more tested.
You think Ole Miss jumps us if they win and then we don't play?
If Ole Miss jumps us?
I mean, they're what, 14 right now?
Are they that high?
I don't know. Somewhere like that. No, I don't think they'll jump us unless they just, like, pound Kentucky's eyes shut and look. Like,
yeah, they are 14th.
I still don't.
So I guess it's possible.
I still don't think either one of those teams are that good.
They probably just slide them in kind of right behind Tennessee.
That's what I would think. I don't think there'd be any reason to.
I think the only one they could pass us is NC State if they beat Clemson.
Yeah, probably. Like, I'd be fine with that. That'd be fine.
Pro Football Focus has Minnesota up at 10. You know, their AP rankings pretty low.
People love Minnesota,
but
Hickman's team.
Their schedule's really easy.
Different analytics.
That quarterback though, Tanner Morgan, he's legit.
Ole Miss at 11. Here, NC State 12. Let's see. Florida State up at 17. They're almost at the tail end in the voters' mind. Arkansas at 21. Pitt's at 24. So, there you go. But Tennessee a little higher in the Pro Football Focus rankings than, I guess, one spot.
Did you see what Heupel said about Tillman yesterday?
No, I thought he said Hooker practice.
He had some media availability and then did his SEC teleconference.
Uh-huh.
And naturally, as they should, a Knoxville media member asked him about Cedric Tillman, and he said, "We're hopeful to have him back for the LSU game, but it's still too early to tell for sure."
He ain't playing, is he?
It's still too early to tell for sure, I'd probably say. I don't know.
That doesn't sound like he's playing.
I mean, he walked out in the boot at the end of the Florida game, so he can at least put some weight on it. Okay. And if he had that procedure, I mean, wasn't Tua back? And like, I think he had his over a bye week, and he was back. Although it is a little different.
Yeah, a receiver and a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could limit his snaps a little bit in that game, or maybe. I don't know. I feel like if he's ready to play and wants to play, you wouldn't say, like, well, we'll play you if we need you. You wouldn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
You'd have to, you know, put him out there early and see if he could give it a go. I don't know, man. Like, where do we think LSU is? Like, do you roll the dice and say, look, man, like, we think that with Keaton, Brew, Hyatt, and some of the other guys, we think we're good enough to beat LSU without you. We want you for Bama. We want you to do what you did to Alabama last year, where you had 100 and whatever yards and a touchdown. And
I just don't think that's going to be the difference in the game. Now,
against LSU or Bama?
Against LSU.
I agree.
I guess on some level it could be. And I do think the LSU game could be a close game. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're just going to whip them and it won't be close. I just don't know that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. It did feel like the Mississippi State receivers could not get open in the second half as LSU kept going more man coverage. So maybe that's a dumb take. But it just feels like if Hooker's on, our receivers are good enough to beat LSU.
Now, I agree. I do.
For Alabama, you're going to need everything to go right.
It seems like LSU's defense is pretty good, though. Right?
Yeah, I think they're pretty good.
Florida State got 21 on them, but didn't they give up like a muff punt touchdown? Or maybe they were about to. So maybe that 21 was legit. But then they held Mississippi State to what? 13?
16.
16?
17. They missed an extra point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't feel like you can defend us and Mississippi State the same way. I feel like there are similarities, but it's very, very different. And I don't know what – it's LSU, right? It's one of two or three schools that can claim DBU status, and no one really blinks an eye or argues. So are they that good in the secondary, because it wasn't that long ago, what, 2 years ago, that they got absolutely torched by Mississippi State. So is that something where Mike Leach is, I mean, because we've said this about them for a couple years now, like they don't have the best receivers. Will Rogers is really good, but I think I'll take our receivers over just about anybody's in the conference. And I like Heupel's scheme because he's not afraid to run the ball if they're giving you the ability to do that.
LSU has better weapons than Florida, right? Besides, the quarterbacks are pretty fairly similar, but their receivers are better, right?
Yeah,
Butte
but
and
with the way Butte's played this
year, he's
played
awful though. He's got 10 catches.
Well, still, but he's going against our corners, right?
That's like his security blanket.
I'd argue we have more talented weapons than Alabama.
I'll be stunned if we give up 453 yards passing to Jaden Daniels.
Where did the Alabama come
from? I'm just saying, like, we're talking about our weapons here, you know, comparing, like, how talented LSU is at receiver. But, like, I don't think we're ever going to be outmanned in that department on offense anyways. Just don't know if we have the defense to slow anybody down.
I'm not comparing offenses, but I'm just comparing
and their safety is going to be out,
yeah,
which is a big deal. Because Heupel knows how to stress safeties.
I think it's not too much of a long shot to say that you won't see a quarterback have a performance like Anthony Richardson did all season. Now, there's always
– I don't know, man. I'm never going to say never because what did that Purdue quarterback do to us last year?
There's always the possibility.
He wasn't that good. He had 400-plus and 5 touchdowns or something.
I mean, you got the best game Anthony Richardson's ever going to play at the University of Florida probably.
Don't you think it's a little early to say that?
Based on the data we have, he's not done anything remotely close to that against
anyone
else.
He was healthy against Utah, and he ran all over them. Then he got hurt first play against Kentucky, and so the next two games he struggled. Then it looked like he looked pretty damn healthy to me against us. I don't think we did anything to bang him up. Obviously, they play a nobody this week.
We were their Super Bowl this year. Because they actually had a chance to beat us, and
I don't know if
we're always a big game.
Yeah, but I don't think a team that's beat you 16 out of 17 would consider you their Super Bowl.
Like, I think they knew, and I think Billy Napier knew, and I think a lot of the players knew, like, hey, you know.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I'm not saying that was the most important game of the season to them, but the way that Billy Napier coached and played the game, you knew he basically didn't think they had a chance to win it, quote-unquote, straight up.
Which is why he said that in the
post. Like, that's not up for debate. That's why they went for it on fourth down. That's why he started playing the analytics early. And that's also part of, you know, part and parcel with the Heupel offense. You're not going to – like, what teams do against other teams and then what they do against us is very rarely going to look the exact same because we put so much pressure on other teams to score that they change their game plan when they play us because they're thinking, well, we got to score 40 to beat these guys. So you're going to get Anthony Richardson throwing it 44 times instead of what did he throw it against Utah, like 18 times?
Yeah, not a lot.
Right? And, you know, I'm surprised they didn't try to run it a little more with their backs, but in fairness and in credit to Rodney Garner and Tennessee's defensive game plan, even when they had numbers in the box, they weren't exactly cracking long runs. So you did some things well. Unfortunately, you know, Anthony Richardson bought a lot of time in the backfield. That touchdown he threw, I know we're all joking around about the – 4 missed tackles, which was embarrassing. Anthony Richardson.
He climbed the pocket.
He pinball juked in the pocket. Yeah. It was kind of unbelievable. He's dropping back to the right. He springs to the left, springs back to the right, springs to the left. I mean, he's like.
He throws it on a rope with no base. You know,
he's like.
He was not able to, like, put a lot on that and just all arm talent.
He jumps to the left and starts jumping off his left foot.
He didn't
foot
throw it over
to
our defender. He threw it past him.
Yeah, like you said, on a rope. The guy he made some great plays. And I'll tell you this, I don't think there's a quarterback with his – now, I'm not saying not more accurate, but talking about arm talent, I don't think anybody we play can throw some of the passes that he was throwing. With the velocity – now, they can be more accurate. But, like, a lot of these quarterbacks, if you can get them off balance and, not, like Nate said, off their base, they're not going to be that accurate. He had a day.
I never thought I'd say this, but Warren Burrell, please get healthy.
Are you issuing an apology here?
No, he still sucks, but he can tackle.
I don't think you could say these things.
He can tackle.
So you're sorry?
No, I'm not sorry. Like, his coverage is abysmal,
but he can tackle. So maybe I'm sorry. I wanted somebody else. He wasn't as good as you.
Well, Chris, I think part of it is just the amount of plays too, though. I mean, like, when I look at Anthony Richardson compare the Utah game to the Tennessee game, I mean, he still had 17 carries against us and 44 attempts. So it's like that's just what Tennessee does to people. You basically get to play two football games in one.
Is it weird that in some of these bigger games, as fast as we go, it's actually the other team that's getting a lot more plays than us?
Yeah, it's because our defense needs to play better.
I mean, we strike on.
I know that that's got to be it. Like we hit big plays.
They get extra plays because they're getting it on fourth down.
Well, that
no, but
that
that's
happened
five
in this
plays.
Game, but not
they had like 18 more plays than
well,
us.
Well, they
didn't
blew
they?
Two coverages. They gave up massive.
That's what I was
plays.
Saying. Yeah.
So if we had, had to work the ball down the field,
we're hitting in one play the yardage they would get in five or six.
I mean, because you got 70 yards on the Brew McCoy throw. You got 41 to Jacob Warren. Mm-hmm. We're just a big play offense. I mean, look at Kentucky last year.
Well,
we
that's
what was the Keaton catch? I mean, that was 40 yards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 40.
That's actually a good thing when you look at our defense because it means we're not giving up those one-play drop touchdowns to the other team.
But when you just methodically let a team just take their time and kill 7 minutes on a drive, you're kind of – At that point, it's like, all right, now you know you have to score because – You know, if you don't score, next thing you know, they've had the ball for 14-plus minutes out of the last 17 minutes of the ball game.
I mean, it's pretty basic, right? Like, I feel like any time this Tennessee defense gets a stop, forces a punt, or gets a turnover, I mean, literally just, I mean, won a game at this point, and you're thinking, man, like, that's a – it's just – it's a big momentum swing with this offense and the way it's clicking right now.
Most offense – or most defense – like, most teams say, oh, our defense needs to force turnovers and force the offense into mistakes. I think our offense needs to force defenses into mistakes for us to be successful.
What?
I mean, if you –
Our offense does that. They make –
I know.
They blow coverages
I know.
All the time.
I think that's just the biggest key for us is if, you know, can we get a couple of first downs? Can we crank up the tempo? And the next thing you know, you got to give me touchdown.
I mean, that's the plan. That's why it works. I've been watching Tennessee football a long time. In the last 2 years, I have seen more receivers running wide open. And we talked about this when Heupel was hired. Like, somehow he gets guys wide open. You think, oh, is it going to work in the SEC? Can he do – wide open. Wow. And it's not even complicated stuff. Mm-mm. You just get guys playing so fast that they're not thinking, and then next thing you know, Trey Dean's sitting there with his feet in the ground, and Brew McCoy's just running wide open. They stack Jacob Warren off the line of scrimmage on the inside, just run the wheel route. There's no one there.
Yeah.
Ramel Keaton, that was just him being an athlete and getting one-on-one coverage, but that's also Hooker taking a great shot, great pass. But I've never seen, over the course of, what are we at, like a season and a third now, the just players wide open. It's unbelievable. Let's hope it continues.
Yeah, I'm not even sure why it happens so much. I mean,
I don't either. Like, I watched the play, I'm like, wow, what crazy thing did we do here? And it's like,
we ran in a straight line.
Basically, yeah. Like, I don't know if it's because we show this alignment and we've, you know, I mean, I do know that Heupel and Golish, they're very good about running certain things to set up something else. Like, they.
I feel like we're not tricking them in that way. They're just blowing the. Like, is it.
But it's everybody. Bama blue coverages, Florida blue coverages, Pitt blue coverages.
I mean, you scored a 60-yard touchdown against Alabama because the cornerback was jogging over to Cedric Tillman
backwards,
while the ball was
backwards because he's looking at his coach like, what am I doing here?
Like, Butch Jones ran a bunch of those spread concepts, and we'd pump and go, and I mean, it was like pulling teeth to try and get a guy mm-hmm. loose deep.
Yeah, right.
And he'd try and set those.
And the only
up.
Ones that could were guys like Josh Malone, who yeah. guys would go man to man, and he was just bigger, stronger, faster.
I think what it is the splits are so wide.
The splits are super wide
that you can't give help out there at some. You know, at some point in the game, there's just not going to be help out there. So when one guy makes a little mistake, mm-hmm. it just magnifies
yeah.
the problem. Whereas if you could play two safeties back, then when that blown coverage on the wheel routes there, that's a 25-yard completion instead of a 71, mm-hmm. you know, something like that.
Well, you just put so much stress on them, too, because you've – I mean, that's an old concept from, like, NCAA. I forget the name of the – what was it called? I think it was called slot wheel, where you have the inside receiver, which for us, in that case, is Jacob Warren. He's lined up in the slot, but he's mm-hmm. also lined up wider than some receivers will line up for other teams all season. And then we have another guy outside him. So then you run the wheel and then the post, and if there's a safety back there and you get one guy that wins, he's got to make a decision. Do I take the post or the wheel? Somebody's going to be open with yeah. those splits. All the space. I love the space. What does Heupel say? Run to grass. Mm-hmm. Loves the grass.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. Hour 2 continues on 3 and Out. I'm all the way up.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Hour two continues, Thursday edition of Three and Out, bye week edition. I was watching a highlight of that Missouri-Auburn fumble again, like from all the angles.
It's close.
I mean, just dropped the football.
How close was it to him barely crossing the line before he dropped it?
Right, 8 inches or so, maybe a foot.
Was it that far? I didn't even know if it was that far.
I mean, it was obvious it was out before, but yeah, it was close. And, I mean, he did get hit, but it was after he lost the ball. And if he holds on to the ball as he puts it in his hand to reach
it
out.
Why would you do that? Why? He was going to score anyway, right? Put two hands on it and dive.
And
it was
a first
that.
Down play.
Yeah, he got the first down.
Yeah, it was a long run. I mean, if he just holds it out with two hands.
Or dives for the pylon or whatever.
Well, that was weird because he kind of got – as he's stepping around the block, he kind of goes sideways, so he's just trying to stick it out. But
that was a crazy game.
You gotta protect the football.
No, you don't. Not when I drew the other team for SEC Survivor. I say cheers. What's his name? Pete? Is that his name? Pete?
I don't know. Only an hour away. We'll draw him again for this weekend.
Ugh. Yippee.
Got South Carolina in action tonight. This is the week to draw the Gamecocks.
Last week was the week.
FCS opponent.
And this is the week.
I think South Carolina.
Us and
State
Vandy
still
have
FCS.
The byes, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. So there's only
those
two.
Are the only
weeks.
Two, yeah.
Vandy. They would get a bye after getting slaughtered by Alabama.
Get your save picks ready.
That's hard.
Yeah, we're really doing awful on the save picks this year.
Oh, and Anthony Richardson's leading the team in passing, leading the league in passing, excuse me, for the week.
Yeah, no. Nobody was going to.
That might be the play, actually, boys, for the leading passer. Just take whoever's playing Tennessee. I hate to go that way.
You can't do that this week. That's why we're talking about it. So far.
That Florida game's on Sunday this year. This week, so don't forget that.
So far, only one person has picked the leading passer correct all year. Nate, you picked Will Rogers in week one. That's been it.
We got any leading rushers?
Two. You got Raheem Sanders in week three, and I got Tank Bigsby in week one.
Nice.
That's it.
Gosh. How about biggest blowout?
Let's see. You and Brett got Alabama in week one.
Okay.
Nobody got it in week two.
All right.
You picked Alabama in week three. We all picked Tennessee and were correct.
Okay.
And then last week, Adam picked Alabama. And got it right. I had LSU. Brett had Mississippi State. You had Georgia, who messed around and almost found out with Kent State.
This week's SEC slate, a little weird. You got South Carolina hosting South Carolina State tonight, 7 o'clock on SEC Network. You got Florida hosting Eastern Washington Sunday at noon on ESPN+, as they back that game up. Since to let the Hurricane get through, and they moved up the South Carolina game to beat the Hurricane rains and weather for that. The regularly scheduled programming, Kentucky at Ole Miss is the noon game on ESPN. Ole Miss up to full touchdown favorite now. Alabama at Arkansas.
Wait, what's it at?
7 for Ole Miss.
I thought it moved up to 7.5 yesterday, but maybe not.
Yeah, it might have gone.
I think I was thinking of the LSU game. They were 7.5, and I think it's up to 8.5 now. Does that sound right?
That's LSU at Auburn. It's at 9.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Alabama's at Arkansas, 17-point favorites. That's your CBS 330 game. Texas A&M's at Mississippi State. That's 4 o'clock on SEC Network. That one's an interesting game. Mm-hmm. You got LSU at Auburn. LSU 9-point favorite. That's a 7 o'clock ESPN game. And then 7:30, Georgia at Missouri, SEC Network. They are Georgia 28-point favorites.
Okay. Need a bounce-back defensive performance from Auburn. That's what we need. mean, they really weren't that bad. They only gave up 14 points. Mm-hmm. But how about just a nice physical game? Maybe another couple of overtimes would be good. Yeah. And what time's that game?
7 o'clock, ESPN.
7 o'clock. In Auburn. On the plane.
On the plains. Jernker Stadium.
Okay.
Looks like TJ Finley is going to be out. Looks like again? He had a grade 2 AC sprain in his right shoulder. Won't play this week. May not see the field the rest of the season.
Rest of the year?
That's what it's looking like.
And then Calzada hung it up, so they're going to go with the Ashford kid again?
Still
if he's,
clear.
Were you talking about Finley or Ashford?
Finley.
Okay.
Finley,
well, he didn't play last week, so that makes sense. But Ashford got hurt throwing a block.
Really?
Did you not see that? Yeah, some guy reverse field, and he tries to get out front and throw a block and gets clobbered. And so, he goes over, and he's, like, holding his shoulder.
Ashford?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then Harson's like, what are you doing? Get back out there. And he's like, okay. He's, like, all hurt. And then he missed a couple drives, I think. They brought in some dude who could not throw the football. Mm. I mean, I don't know if this guy was a walk-on or it was bad. Very bad.
Didn't Auburn go down right down the field on their first drive and score?
They
didn't
scored
even
throw
their,
the, they didn't scored
even,
in their first two.
Against who?
They didn't even throw the ball, though.
Missouri.
Mm. Like
they can't throw the ball. Well, yeah, because their backup, the Ashford kid, he's – you could tell he's not comfortable in the offense, but he could take off and run.
Yeah, he's
you know, he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
He's just an athlete.
Just an athlete? I saw you catching passes yesterday, but I'd be careful who I'm calling just an athlete.
That was fun.
He did have a couple snags.
I haven't done that in a while.
He did drop an easy touchdown that I put right on him. What the heck?
Houston was dropping
transitional
dimes.
Lenses.
In sandals.
It's true.
Jake probably not going to be able to get out of bed today. He said he threw his back out.
Oh, great.
I will say it is dangerous running routes out there.
There's a
hills,
hole.
There's holes. Yeah. There's hills.
No, I ran Jake right through a pothole out there.
Backyard football, man.
Maybe if Jake cut the grass. Can we flag the hole? Can we just put a little, little flag in there just for a warning? I don't want people getting hurt.
We should just turf it out there. A little 60-yard
you
field.
You better be careful. That's workman's comp times two.
I didn't
for
tell
Jake.
You guys to go play football out there.
You didn't say
that's
not to.
Own.
The grounds are dangerous.
It's on your own.
I asked Hickman if he could overthrow me or something like that, and he said, let's go find out. That's how it started.
Yeah, I guess we were bashing Joe Milton.
Yeah.
Yeah, for no reason at all. You just love to do that. The guy's been sensational in limited time against Scrubs. But he's done the duty. Hendon Hooker completing 71.7% of his passes, no interceptions. It's pretty good. You know, it's pretty good that he's completing 71% of his passes, almost 72%. And we're like, yeah, but he missed this one and he missed that one, which is insane. Like, he's so good that when he makes a mistake, it just doesn't even register that those are okay from time to time. It's like, oh, ha.
Why will he throw his first pick?
Shut up.
Yeah, what kind of question is that?
I'm just curious. I mean, is it against LSU, Bama? Does he make it to Georgia without throwing one?
What are you doing?
I don't believe in jinxing things, so I can talk about it.
Only 8 touchdowns, though. Third of the season.
I mean, to be fair, though, he's only played really in 2.5 full games.
I'm just saying you're not gonna get to New York if you throw 24 touchdowns and no interceptions. I mean, he has run for 3, but I feel like what's the number to win the Heisman? You gotta have like 40 touchdowns if you're a quarterback, right?
How many have last year?
31
passing and or 33 passing?
I think he had 34 total.
No, he had more rushing touchdowns than one, didn't he? Hang on, I'll have it right here.
So if he gets to 40 total touchdowns, so it'd be like Joe Milton, 40 total touchdowns. All
right, I got a stats pulled up right now.
Last year it was 31 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Okay.
2,945 passing yards.
Rushing touchdowns.
Bryce Young won the Heisman last year. He had 47 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Passing.
Hooker last year had 616 rushing yards with 5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So he had 36, yeah.
I got 620, but whatever. 625 touchdowns per ESPN. Are you on college football?
I'm on sportsreference.com.
Yeah, Sports Reference. That's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Somebody made the point the other day. I mean, if Hooker plays out of his mind, which I think he would need to have a really good game, obviously, and you beat Georgia or Alabama. And then you got to be at least, what, 10-2, at least. That way, he, you know, if you beat one of those two, say you drop one other game, worst case, then he'd have a real shot to win it. You can't be 9-3 win the Heisman.
I think you could, but you'd have to throw for like 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do that. Just a hunch.
I think you could win it at 10-2, but you got to beat one of those big two teams, and he's got to have a great day, kind of a feature performance. Obviously, if you go 11-1, you beat one of those teams, then I would say he's probably the front runner for it, because you're probably in the playoff, or at least in the SEC championship game.
Well, a big thing, obviously, for the Heisman, too, is how you play in the big games. Like, obviously, it's going to help the final stat line if you go out and throw 7 touchdowns against South Carolina and win by 50. But no one, you know, what they're going to care about is, what did you do against Pitt through a game-winning touchdown in overtime? What did you do against Florida? Everything.
See, I don't think Pitt even matters. But the Florida game, he's like 1-for-1. And like,
you don't think the Pitt game matters?
Not to Heisman voters. They probably didn't even watch it. I mean, they won't even care about it by the end of the year.
Wasn't that a top 5 viewed game of that week?
I think they look at the stat line for the year and like, oh, give it to this guy.
Well, I think they go back and look at how did he do against ranked teams, and he had a pretty good game against Pitt. It wasn't sensational, but it was good.
If Pitt counts one share, Florida counts 20.
No, I agree with that. And then, obviously, what you do against, you know,
Alabama.
Even
Georgia,
LSU. I mean,
look at all the eyes on that game, Tennessee, Florida, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good point. We'll come back. Final segment, hour number 2 next. This segment of the program brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use our promo code 3OUT when you sign up. Football season is underway, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with our promo code. It's 3OUT. That's 3OUT. Love FanDuel. They always have cool boosts there. They've got the same game parlays you can get in on. Hickman's been taking advantage of those all season long.
Take advantage of something.
You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. And they've got live betting, too. There's nothing more frustrating than having a game that you're like thinking about betting, and you're like, yeah, I'll check the line. I want to see if it moves right before kickoff. And then you kind of forget. It's nice with live betting, and it's not just on some games. They've got live betting pretty much on every single game. So as soon as it starts, you know, you can see how the game is going and still get your bet in and kind of pick your spot. It's great. Sign up with our promo code 3OUT. It's all on the app. That's safe, secure, and super easy to use for your first no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Promo code 3OUT. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Who do you like tonight?
Ooh.
The Dolphins are red hot, but Tua had the concussion thing. The Bengals, it feels like a sucker bet, again, to take because the Bengals are favored pretty heavily.
I would think so.
But they've looked like crap.
Yeah. They have.
And it feels like kind of like a sucker bet, but every time I've kind of looked at that type of line this season, I've gone with the opposite of the sucker. So, like, the sucker would take Miami and the points. So, I feel like the Bengals at home lay the points might be.
I feel like I wouldn't touch this one until I get some updates on Tua.
Oh, yeah.
That's just me.
I'll tell you what's been really fun this year is just I forgot how fun anytime touchdown score bets are.
They are a lot. It's so great.
When, like, if you want, like, to just sit down and watch and not really have to sweat it out long term, and if you like knowing, like, if it's going to hit early on, just sitting there and just screaming at the TV for your guy to get a touchdown is pretty fun.
You can make it all happen with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use our promo code 3OUT when you sign up. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable. Free bets expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Yeah, I'm excited for tonight. We've had some really crummy Monday night games at times, but this one and Thursday night typically is the one where you really get some crap games because they're coming off short week.
Yeah.
But at least it's two teams that are interesting, that can be good. I know the Bengals have been struggling, but
Still don't even know how the Dolphins won last week.
Magic.
Looking at the stat,
magic.
I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills ran 90 plays. The Dolphins only ran 35.
And the Bills looked unbeatable, you know, in their other games.
Bills moved the ball great. They just couldn't capitalize when they got close to
40 minutes.
Here's my anytime touchdown score bet.
Okay.
Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon, Jalen Waddle.
Waddle, even if Tua doesn't play?
Yeah.
Waddle over
not
Tyreek.
Tyreek, yeah.
$5 to win 45.
There you go. 50 to win 450.
Yeah, put 50 on it, you coward. What, are you scared?
Tua, as of 2 hours ago, is expected to play tonight.
Good to go, man. Good to go.
Back and ankle issues.
I don't feel like adding more to my account.
Back? That did not look like a back, but we'll see. I mean, if he goes out there and gets another hit and gets concussed again, Dolphins are going to have some questions to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Waddle. Questionable with a groin, but should be good to go.
Oh, God.
Yeah, did you just lock in your bet?
Yeah, it's locked in.
Cash out.
It's only $5.
He might play, but then you be in that kind of injuries.
Hickman.
Check the injuries before.
Always check the injuries.
He was fine last week. I watched the entire game. Nothing happened to him.
Does it feel like more guys are just beat up in the NFL than ever before? I can't even
wusses.
Set a fantasy lineup.
You're an idiot.
They're wusses.
No, they're not. Playing against huge humans running full speed.
Guys played through this crap back in the day. They don't know more.
I don't necessarily think that's true. I mean, we got guys tearing their pecs, their quads, their ACLs.
And now we got guys, he's got a bruised thigh, out 2 weeks.
Some of those are pretty severe, bro.
So?
Well, if you can't run because you're sore, you're going to hurt your team.
That's just – like, you almost can't even watch pro sports anymore because there's always 15 guys out.
Yeah, but you're not watching a lot of pro sports, aren't you?
Man, I mean, really.
Have you watched Red Zone yet?
No.
Shut up, then.
That's a problem.
There's only two teams I care about watching, though.
You know, speaking of opportunities, who's playing, who's not? CP's gotten 65% of running back snaps for the Falcons week one, 59 week two, and 61 week three. And he saw the bet he won with Kyle Pitts.
Yes, I did.
Kyle Pitts of Florida, of course, former Florida Gator, had to wear the Tennessee coveralls. Checkerboard
overalls. Coveralls would be a full suit, which would be cool for cold weather. We should probably try. We could probably do that. You know, we could make a lot of money. Like Hickman trying to steal my sell water idea.
What?
The other day on Tennessee Tailgate, you guys were trying to steal my idea of taking a bunch of bottled water down to campus and selling it. You buy bulk water and sell it for cheaper than they can get anywhere else. Here's a money-making scheme. They wouldn't get on board.
What I don't know is I think there should be just people handing out free waters after the games. Like, people were clogging up the exit because they were trying to get water from the concession stands after the game was over, and that was really annoying.
After the game.
So you think people should have to pay for water all game and then get it for free after?
I mean, they're not hurting
for money. It's water. It doesn't go bad. They just throw it back in the cooler and sell it next time.
Can't we just put a tap like they have at some of the beer gardens with the just –
There'd be no line there.
A cup dispenser. You just put them all over. That way, everyone's well hydrated all the time.
Like the Roman aqueducts. Just.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at a graphic right here that shows Tennessee having the third highest secondary market price for their tickets in the entire country. They're not hurting for money. Georgia is number one on the list at $513 per ticket on the secondary market.
Is that surprising?
A little bit, yeah. Ohio State second at 506. Our average ticket price on the secondary market is 465.
That's average.
Michigan 4, Alabama 5, Kentucky 6, A&M 7.
Kentucky 6?
Yeah. A&M 7, Clemson 8, Oklahoma 9, and Ole Miss 10, rounding out the top 10, which is crazy because they can't fill it. Maybe that's why.
No one will sell their tickets for cheap.
You might be on something there.
They're too uppity.
Too uppity.
Yeah. Sad.
Very. Very sad. So Jalen Waddle questionable with a groin.
Yeah, so don't take my bet, peoples.
He's on my fantasy team. I got to know if I want to start him tonight. Oh, I'm really struggling at receiver after my guys, too. I'm
telling you, man. It's crazy. Everybody's hurt.
Everybody's banged up. Stinks.
Got an early Sunday game this week, too. London, I think.
That's right.
Saints and Vikings.
Don't forget to set your lineups.
I never do.
Yeah, it's really hard playing with guys in California.
What?
Just setting your fantasy lineups. I got buddies in my league who are out in California, so the time zone makes a big difference. And, boy, we had a big conundrum last weekend, but thankfully it didn't bite anybody in the butt.
Fluffle?
What happened?
Guy had his tight end was out and his starting running back. He had Alvin Kamara as a running back, and he was out, and he still won.
He wasn't out. He played.
Well, okay, two weeks ago then. Mm-hmm.
People getting on to him for not setting his lineup or what?
Yeah, but, I mean, didn't hurt him. He won.
We had a guy one time lock up, like, the number one seed or something. So he benched all of his players for the final game. It was against a team that had been eliminated, so it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. No one was mad at him about it. But he kind of did it as a joke. He's like, I'm resting my guys, you know. We'll make sure they're healthy for the playoffs. And then he forgot to reset his lineup. So he got bounced in like the first round because he didn't have anyone in. Like, you moron.
It's a big mistake.
Yeah.
I like the victory lap, though. I did that last year. I was like, last game of the season, and I was like, are we going to win this game? So I benched my tight end and my defense, and I was like, yeah, I don't need them to beat you. Mm. It's a good flex.
I guess so.
We might have an all-timer when it comes to uniform matchups tonight.
I really do like the Bengals' white. Have you seen this? They're doing like the Siberian tiger tonight.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool.
The white helmet with the black stripes.
They're at home, right?
Yeah.
So where the Dolphins going to go with like teal tops?
I guess, yeah.
Yep.
Also,
I should go all teal.
Well, the NFL this year, they're doing like this weird thing with the helmets where certain teams are getting a throwback helmet. Have the Bengals worn this helmet before? Or did they just...
I feel like I've seen it, but I don't know if that was just a mock-up or if they actually wore it.
So maybe some teams did a throwback and some teams did just a new helmet.
Do they still call it Color Rush or is it something new now?
I don't think they do that anymore. I could be wrong. Don't quote me.
I think they... Yeah, okay. They still call it that for this. So this is the Bengals white Color Rush. Slick helmet.
You like it, right? It's good.
It's the one with the Oakley, like, orangish...
Oh, yeah. Shade. That'd be awesome. I wish we'd wear that. We need more guys with orange visors. But the college game is so... They're so finicky on what you can and can't do.
That bad boy.
You going to get one?
No. Why would I get a football helmet and play football?
Shawnee sent in... Hickman, there's water monsters.
What?
We got water monsters in the stadium. 3 125-gallon water monster coolers are located inside Neyland Stadium... For free water.
I never saw them.
There's also water fountains.
That's gross. No.
What?
You do not use a water fountain at Neyland Stadium.
Why?
That's disgusting.
What's disgusting about it's only disgusting if you're making out with the nozzle.
Yeah.
Even just touching that thing and getting down in there.
Your mouth off of it.
You're crazy.
I don't use water fountains.
Why? Ever? Like in school growing up, did you drink out of the water fountain?
Well, see, we had the fancy water fountains where you could just stick your bottle under there and fill it up, too. So,
I'm so sorry.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. If you're
big
water
cowboy
fountain.
Hickman out King there. Yeah,
Kodak. Canteen up.
Yeehaw, bud. Yeehaw.
Has Nalgene bottle.
Yeah.